You ready? Okay. Okay, I'd like to call the Wednesday, April 18th, 2018, Board meeting of Board of Directors meeting of the South San Francisco County Sanitation District to order. May we have a roll call, please?
Yes, ma'am. Director Hill.
Here.
Vice Chair Nichols.
Here.
Chair Austin.
Here. Okay, if you'll all please stand and join me for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Agenda review. Does anyone want to change anything on the order of the agenda?
No, ma'am.
You okay, Jim?
No, I have no changes.
All right. Then we'll move on to public comment for items that are not appearing on the agenda.
Good evening, I'm Julie Tacker, and I would like to ask, as I have many times before, that your board rescind the censure of Mayor Hill. I would also like to ask that you censure Mayor John Scholes for his time on this district. He admits that he overstepped his bounds as a director. I'd also like to see you retroactively censure former director Mary Lucy. Miss Lucy was a board member on this board and continues to represent herself as someone with knowledge of the district. Most recently at the Arroyo Grande City Council meeting last week, she perpetuates lies and slanders individuals who are employed at this district. At the time Ms. Lucy's censure was on the agenda, it was agreed and directed by the board to that administrator at the time to repudiate the damaging statements she had made about this district. That never happened. And as recently as a week ago Tuesday, she continues to say the similar things, blaming Mr. Clemens for things that never happened. She suggests that he falsified data to the state. I have requested all the data from the state that came from this district, and what was submitted was falsified by Mr. Huebner in an attempt to discredit Mr. Clemens. This needs to stop because it's going to backfire on your district. You need to have your legal counsel give Ms. Lucy a call and remind her that there are things that are attorney-client privilege that she is bound to hold in perpetuity.
Anyone else have public comment?
I just have, Holden Kubel, Arroyo Grande. I just have one comment. And I know I'm not going to be touching anything on the agenda. I just want to make one statement. How much longer is this board going to take the advice of a council who tells you to do something wrong? That's all I want to say. You need to think about that.
Anyone else have public comment?
Patricia Price, Arroyo Grande. I've been concerned about conflict of interest on the board. It's with Director Nichols. Her husband was on the South San board for many years until 2013, and he served as a chair on the board. Debbie Peterson was on the board for 2 years. That's the only time in recent years that A. Nichols hasn't been on the board. Barbara Nichols was appointed by John Scholes and has been on the board from 2015 to present. In August of 2015, a forensic audit by Carl Knudsen was initiated. In December of 2015, Ms. Nichols stated that she had a vested interest and wanted to remain on the board. John Wallace pled guilty to charges that were made because of Knudsen's forensic audit. John Nichols was on the board during the years the audit covered. I'm wondering, when he pled guilty to these charges, why there wasn't a request for restitution for the district. I'd like to know who made the decision not to seek restitution. The public has asked this question before. Did counsel bring this to the directors? And if he did, what directors decided that restitution was not needed? Thank you.
Okay.
Ron Arnoldson, I'd like to kind of add in, kind of go along with that same thought that Mr. Wallace did plead guilty. Didn't get a lot of money out of him. I think Avila got more money than we did. And somewhere in the throw of things, $6 to $7 million went through his hands. I think this board needs to think about getting some of that money back. Wouldn't hurt him at all, because I'm sure his E&O would kick in. And I think that this board really needs to think about a civil suit against Mr. Wallace.
Is there anyone else? No public comment? Okay, seeing none, I will close public comment and bring it.
Madam Chair, could I briefly respond to a couple of those? I would request that we put on our agenda a repudiation of the continuing comments by former Director Lucy that bear no resemblance to fact would be one. I would request that that be put on the agenda. And I also believe that we should have a discussion about potential restitution, as was suggested by a couple of the speakers, and I would request that that be put on the agenda as well.
Okay, thank you. Okay, we'll move on to the consent agenda. So do we have anybody wanting to take anything off the consent agenda? I haven't called for public comment yet. Thanks.
5B, 5C, and 5E. I just have a comment on 5A or a question.
Okay, so then we'll do 5A and 5D, approval of warrants and the fiscal year budget preparation schedule. So if anyone has public comment on 5A and 5D. D is in dog.
Speaking to 5A, those are your warrants. I can't help notice there is something going on with the chemicals at the plant. Over $6,000 for what I have to suspect is chlorine. I'd like an explanation. I would also like to put on record right here and right now that your next warrant packet and the bill from your attorney better reflect a refund for the current mess that he led you in and now he will charge you to get out of. With regard to 5D, the schedule for the budget, I'm very confused in that, and I'm having trouble finding it. I'm having a lot of heartburn over the fact that you have not had current financials brought to your board in order to track the spending of this district thus far this year. You don't have an audit from 15-16, no audit from 16-17, nothing in the way of financials or cash reports from 1718. This is time for your third quarter review. I think I just saw it at Oceano last week. And you don't have that. So how can you feel comfortable suggesting anything for next year's budget if you don't know where you stand today? Good luck with that.
Does anyone else have comment on 5A or D?
Well, it's kind of surprised to see that there's still ongoing billing for an attorney that left this district 4 months ago. $4,000 this month.
Anyone else have comment? Okay, I'll close the... Was there someone else?
I was just going to say I was wondering about that also, about the legal.
Okay, so bring it back here. And Mr. Sweet, I think we talked about if you want to tell us about Wendy Stockton's bill.
I think I heard a couple things. Wendy Stockton's bill is her last bill, and she actually worked when Paul and I were absent for a similar period of time. She was actually at the plant helping facilitate things moving forward. So it hasn't been a period of 4 months. It was a period ceasing around on or around March 18th when Paul returned.
Okay. And then the Laura services was the health care benefit.
Yes, we've been looking at ways to consolidate and make a little easier our payment of health care benefits to our retirees.
Okay. All right. Does there anyone else have any comments on the warrants or the budget preparation schedule?
My question was about Ms. Stockton's bill, and I think you've got an answer for that. Thank you.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I entertain a motion then if we can.
I move that the warrants be approved as presented.
And then the other
and
one.
That the fiscal budget preparation schedule be go forward.
Second for discussion. That discussion being that I'm in agreement with the speaker who indicated that we are somewhat in the dark about our current financial condition because of the dramatic lack of both current cash balance information, our quarterly financials, and our 2 years audit. However, I'm prepared to support the schedule because we need a roadmap for next year.
Okay, thank you. So, all in favor of approving 5A and 5D?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, it carries. So we'll move up to 5B now, the approval of minutes of April 4th, 2018.
On item 6A is recorded on the minutes on page 5. It says that Director Hill commented about the INI study. What my comment was regarded the lack of follow-up on the INI study, which resulted in a violation of our discharge permit with the Regional Water Quality Control Board. And I would like the minutes to reflect that that's what my comment was. So I would move. Also, I'm concerned that there was a closed session recorded there where quote unquote no action was recorded, but I believe there was action taken to change a meeting location. And that's not reflected in the minutes. It just says no action, which has been an habitual report of this organization from closed sessions. So with the changes that I've indicated, I would like to see these brought back so I can review the changes before we accept them.
Okay, so then do we want to table these minutes and bring them back?
I would respectfully request that, Madam Chair.
Or could we, I'm just trying to think. Can we approve them with?
So is there a motion on the floor?
Well, we haven't made a motion yet. We're trying to decide on 6A, his comment on the I&I study. He wanted to put some more detail into that before he'd approve the minutes. So I don't know if we can
can amend the minutes to put more detail based on what we're hearing.
On that one item?
Certainly.
That would be the only thing. So I think we could go ahead and approve the minutes and have them. We can maybe bring them.
I'd be amenable to that if I can review the changes.
Okay.
But in the interest of moving forward.
You want to make the motion?
I'll move that we accept the minutes with the corrections I've indicated.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Oh, I'm sorry, public comments. Is there any public comments?
I'd like to comment on the minutes of the April 7th. I think you've at least came forward a little bit with the minutes there. At least there it says that someone spoke and it said what they're in favor of or what they talked about. The minutes two meetings ago, it just said they spoke. It didn't really tell what their position was. So I think it's nice that you're at least putting someone's position down and not the fact that they just spoke their position against or for something. It's nice to hear and nice to see in the minutes. Thank you.
Julie Tacker again, and I just wanted to kind of speak to the minutes where it reflects that Brad Snook was before your board 2 weeks ago. Mr. Snook is asking your district to go through the CEQA process on the brine disposal and the trucks that are coming and going out of there. I'd like to also comment on my comments that are reflected in these minutes related to the Cambria CSD's application for brine disposal, and let you know, because you probably don't, that since that meeting, your administrator has approved their permit. But again, I think, just like Mr. Snook, the transport of the material needs to be evaluated in an environmental analysis, and I was under the impression that your board was going to see that permit before it was approved, and instead your administrator approved it without your input. So I don't know how you fix the minutes, but I hope you can.
Any other public comment on minutes? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment. Do we, everybody have a motion? Want to make the motion again?
Since I think there's a motion.
There's already a motion on the floor.
Motion and second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? None. Okay, so to the technical. The technical consultants and plant operations report. We did 5A, we did 5B, we did 5C.
No.
The budget, 5B. We're on 5D now.
5D hasn't been done.
Okay, 5D. The 2000. 5C. Oh, the special meeting minutes, 5C. Okay, so. So you wanted to pull the special meeting minutes off, Jim?
Yes, I'm not sure how to deal with this. There's, again, the claim of no action taken, but as the letter from the district attorney points out, that action was in fact apparently taken to reduce the number of candidates that were being considered for the position. So while I did not attend that meeting, this is a conundrum. I'm not really even sure how to deal with it.
Okay. To clarify that, there was no discussion on comparison of ranking to down to three candidates at that meeting. It was left that the interviews were completed and that we would go in closed session and proceed from there.
I don't know that, if I might comment. I did report that there was no reportable action.
Right.
I think the minutes accurately reflect that.
Right.
Of course, there could be a large legal discussion, and apparently there is, about whether or not that's accurate. But the fact that I reported that, I think that's accurate.
Yes.
Okay. Any public comment on the special meeting minutes of April 7th?
Excuse me, Chris Victorine. There was an omission from the draft minutes of April 7th, the special meeting. The minutes did not disclose that Mr. Sweet read an email from the district council opining that the holding of the meeting in San Luis Obispo was not a violation of the Brown Act. I'm talking on the no reportable action taken, but the Cure and Correct memo states that the board identified the top candidates and is prepared to recommend finalists. So again,
that was not true.
Okay. It sounds like you picked out some of those specifically already, but okay. But anyway, I recommend that the minutes be updated by including the correspondence from the district council. And I also request that if you're not going to hold another meeting to cure the violation, that Director Hill be updated on the content of the interviews and assist in the selection of those top candidates. Additionally, I request that in the future that the board and district council be transparent in reporting of those closed sessions. Chair Austin informed the OCSD board on April 11th that six candidates were interviewed, and again, the confusion of the top candidates seemed like a reportable action. But the public would appreciate that same consideration in closed session statements of reportable actions. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I'm not understanding how the meeting continued when it was an obvious violation of the Brown Act. It was a violation, and it was said by the administrator that council said that it was within the code, and it wasn't. And I'm just not understanding how that meeting, I don't understand how council came to that conclusion. I think we need to get new counsel. He's giving direction that is not accurate. That's something that even I understood that it was violating the Brown Act.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hi, Mary Lucia Sciano. You have public comment at the beginning for open topics and opinions and all that stuff, right? To use other agenda areas to voice your opinion or want something changed or, you know, it doesn't look like that you want them to look like is just a violation of how you've set your meeting up. So I'm asking that you change your consent agenda. You know, and that anybody who has problems with the items, that item be pulled and put to the bottom of the agenda. Because you can't pass a consent agenda when you got all these opinions coming up here. And typos, and I mean, just, you know, and it shouldn't be this, and it shouldn't be that. That it needs to be in another area. You know, at least understand why you have consent agenda items. You have that category to move things through quickly without discussion. You know, and the way the agenda is set up, it's not occurring.
Anyone else?
Thank you for giving us your opinion this time.
I disagree with the last speaker. Consent agenda is supposed to move things quickly, but the chair usually asks, is there anything that needs to be pulled for separate consideration or discussion? And Mayor Hill asked for some separate discussion and separate consideration for some items, and those items were up for public comment.
I believe we're discussing the minutes of...
The summary action minutes of the special meeting, April 7th.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and thank you, Mayor Hill, for pulling this from the consent agenda, because consent agendas are for things that are non-controversial. Apparently, there is some concern over this item being the minutes of April 7th, a Saturday meeting at 8 o'clock in the morning at the Courtyard Marriott in San Luis Obispo. That's why it was pulled from the agenda, and I'm pleased that the public gets to speak to the item. I think that the minutes should reflect that legal counsel, Mr. Trujillo, was also not in attendance. It should reflect that Paavo Ogren was in attendance. It should reflect why Mayor Hill chose not to attend. I think I understand that he made that very clear, that he was concerned that it would violate the Brown Act. The comments that were made, my personal comments were to remind the board that this district, along with the city of Arroyo Grande, recently went through some $70,000 of investigation over a phantom Brown Act violation. And I recommended that you not break the Brown Act by proceeding that day. The absence of in the minutes of the point in the meeting when Chair Austin noted no additional speakers closed the public comment period. She then turned to technical consultant Rick Sweet and asked him to read from the email that the board had gotten the night before. Those were her words. He read from the email, and consensus was there among the board and the staff to continue, because the attorney gave his blessing. So that is omitted from the agenda, and it should be reversed from the minutes and should be reflected. The overarching issue certainly was the Brown Act violation from the comments of the speakers, but what really is at core here is that Mayor Hill and his expertise was left out of the process. And I think that's all a Cure and Correct would do is allow him to participate to benefit the public.
Does anyone else have public comment on the minutes? Seeing none, close public comment, bring it back. Can we get a motion to, does anyone have any more comment on them or on the minutes?
I make a motion that the special minutes of the special meeting, April 7th, be approved.
I'll second it. We get a roll call, please.
Yes. Director Hill.
Abstain.
Vice Chair Nichols?
Yes.
Chair Austin?
Yes. Okay, so now we're going to, we did the technical consultants and plant operation report. You wanted that pulled too?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, the report reflects that a brine permit has been issued, and it does note the comment from Surfrider representatives. Surfrider asked staff agreed to seek input from counterparts in the field of brine disposal regarding the method of sampling and so forth. Staff agreed to compare practices used by the District 20 standard that may be discovered and to draft a standard operating procedure. That work has been ongoing. My understanding now is that a permit has actually been issued, but the next item concerns me that recruitment of a laboratory technician has not yet been completed, according to the report, and those two items together indicate to me that sampling is probably not occurring, and I'm concerned how we are assuring ourselves and our regulators that our discharges are in conformance with our NPDES permit.
Would you like me to respond?
Yes, would you please respond, Mr. Sweet?
Sampling is indeed occurring. Our operators are versed in sampling. In fact, there has been one of our disposers who could not meet our discharge requirements and has not been allowed to discharge at the plant presently.
And when was the sampling that determined that conducted?
It's been conducted both during the time Ms. Mui is here and the time after Ms. Mui is here.
So is it correct that then that that denial of discharge permit was done after her departure?
It was done after her departure, is my understanding. As recently as, somewhere around the beginning of March, and her departure was in that area also.
So it's probably fair to say that whatever sampling was done was performed by a qualified technician, and currently we have none.
That's okay. Sampling is ongoing. Our folks are qualified per the regional board guidelines. And we've submitted a new lab person who to the regional board, and it has been approved, and that person is currently on staff.
Okay, thank you very much for the report.
Thank you, Mr. Sweet. Is that it?
No, that's basically it.
Okay, so we'll have public comment on the technical consultants and plant operations report.
Julie Tacker again, and I really didn't hear an explanation, and I hope we do, on why the Cambria permit was issued without your board's consent. I believe that was something you wanted to hear. So I don't quite understand that. And then, what does it mean? Their permit is, their discharge is estimated to be over 20,000 gallons a day. And what does that look like? What is the environmental impact of such a thing with the comings and goings of those trucks? These trucks are also going to be coming and going while you have construction for a redundancy project, and there will be considerable amounts of traffic. And the cumulative effects, Ms. Austin, I'm sorry you're not interested, or maybe your chair's broken. You seem distracted. So anyway, it is your neighborhood, and you all should be interested in what the impacts of these additional trucks are to the district.
Anyone else have public comment?
Hey, Alicia Shano. The plant is actually housed in Oceano, so we have a stronger vested interest than others. And I had wished Mr. Sweet had it expanded a little bit more about testing. is that the plant hasn't always had an on-site test. And in fact, the first person to test in-house was hired under Mr. Wallace. And, the drama continues from there. And then the tests were sent out for testing to certified state-recognized subcontractors. So I can't even begin to imagine this plant going without the testing of the quality of the water. I'd also like to remind the board that the city of Cambria came, the district of Cambria came to this board and gave an extensive presentation on bringing brine and what the problems were, and no, it isn't in their best fiscal choice to bring it all the way to the South County, but that at this point, this is what they have available to them. Is there people holding court behind me? Ms. Tacker, do you want my time? I'll yield you.
Madam Chair.
Hey, turn around. Give your public comment.
Okay, so I'd like a little credit on the time. So it's not in their best interest to come down, but this particular fallout line is different than other plants, you know, and there are only a very few of these lines left in the state of California, and maybe as time settles in and people start getting more familiar, or at least start listening, they'll understand the difference between this fallout line and what is required by law now in the state of California. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment? Okay, seeing none, we'll come back. So do we have entertain a motion on the technical consultant on operations report?
I think it's a receive and file.
It's a receive and file. Got it. Okay, that brings us to our next item, which is item number 6A, the Brown Act Cure and Correct Demand Letter dated April 10th, 2018. I'm going to turn this over to our attorney.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this item concerns a Brown Act cure and demand letter that was received on April 10th concerning the special meeting held on April 7th. Staff is recommending that the board unconditionally commit to issue a cease desist and not repeat the challenge action of holding a meeting outside the district boundaries, and that is a requirement of the Brown Act. I'd like to give you some background. The recruiter had responsibility for choosing the location, and her first choice was the city of Grover Beach. It was understood that Grover Beach had video conferencing capabilities, and the board expressed a desire to interview using the video conferencing rather than having to crowd around a small screen to do a Skype interview. Unfortunately, Grover Beach's facilities were not available, and the recruiter then began a search for other locations. She decided to hold to reserve the rooms at the Courtyard Marriott located in the city of San Luis Obispo. The decision was not made by staff. That was something that the recruiter was responsible for, and she unfortunately did not understand the Brown Act or realize that this particular provision of the Brown Act prohibits meetings outside the jurisdiction. Staff became aware of this Brown Act violation after 5 o'clock on Friday evening before the interviews. In attempting to find a remedy, we spoke to the recruiter as she was driving down, and unfortunately she mentioned that it was almost impossible to contact any of the candidates who are already in transit, at least those from out of the area. Many of whom have incurred expenses, traveling expenses, hotel reservations, and were expecting to interview on the next day on that morning. I think it's important to note that what occurred at the special meeting, that there was no action taken to appoint a district administrator. Interviews did go forward, and the board would then, at tonight's meeting, discuss those in closed session. This location outside district boundaries really was unintentional. It was inadvertent. It was a good faith mistake by the recruiter. And unfortunately, staff did not learn about it until it was too late to notify the applicants. Now, staff is recommending that you issue the unconditional commitment letter. It is attached as an exhibit. We are recommending that the board authorize the chair to sign that letter and issue it. That would prohibit any challenges based on that section of the Brown Act. The board also has other options. The board may direct staff to re-notice the closed session and invite the candidates to interview for a second time. Nothing prohibits the district from re-noticing, re-interviewing, and re-deliberating the issues heard at the April 7th, 2018 meeting. There also was issues with the notice. The notice was not posted at a location. That is another Brown Act requirement, and staff is fully aware of that requirement. Unfortunately, the recruiter was not. So that concludes my presentation. I'd be happy to answer any questions you may have.
Do we want to open public comment, or did you have anything you want to say before public comment, Barbara? Would you just rather have go straight to public comment? Okay, let's open this up to public comment.
Well, I'm just wondering who did the notice of the special meeting. It says on there, you know, where the meeting's going to be held. And so it seems like someone would have noticed that the address didn't fit within the Brown Act.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Colleen Kugel, Ray Grandy. Just wanted to make a couple of comments. We all know that there was a violation, whether council says so or not, whether you think so or not, there was. And the recruiter might not have known, but everybody on the board should have known. It's very, very set in the Brown Act. No one tried Rio Grande that I know of. No one tried anywhere else around here except for Grover Beach. And due diligence was not taken in finding a location in district down here. And it should never have happened, even if they were in transit. It's a violation of the Brown Act to go where it went. The reasons that you could do that don't factor in here. It could have been changed. Council gave you bad advice, and it was read in an email at that meeting, but you continued to go ahead with the meeting. And to us out here in the public, that gives us no trust in the board because you didn't follow the Brown Act. And yes, the recruiter was got wrong also. That gives us pause to think, what is this recruiter doing? What's council doing? That needs to be thought of and really understood by everybody here. Everybody knew that this was a Brown Act violation. That's why Member Hill did not go. And so it just boggles the mind to think that the meeting went ahead with people saying it's okay. So think about that. Before you go forward, make sure you have the right legal counsel, not the one that's present. Thank you.
Anyone else?
I think you have a letter from the district attorney that pretty much states so he has a different opinion than what your counsel says. He says that he felt that there was action taken there. You narrowed it down. It says in if you'll read your staff report, the staff report that you have on your desk says that there was direction given because you narrowed it down and there was The rest of the board was supposed to, the board and entity was supposed to look at it tonight. The district attorney believes that that was direction given. Your district council said that it was a big mistake because of the recruiter. That's the job that he should be protecting you and us as a district. He should be protecting us. That's where he should know the rules, the law, and he should have known before 5 o'clock that that wasn't, that there was a Brown Act violation. This is a problem we had with other district council. Didn't protect the former district administrator as well as this district, and it cost us a lot of money to change district administrator, even though I think we had a good district administrator. I feel the district council should have kept him out of trouble. But anyway, your choices are to sign that letter, which is not the right choice. Choices to re-interview. Let Mr. Hill, who has 47-48% of the district is represented by him. He had no say in the, he has no say so far in these candidates. The real choice is to go back and re-interview.
Okay, anyone else?
I do have one comment. At no time was it made clear to this board during the preparations for this that there was adequate facilities in Arroyo Grande, and they were not offered to us.
With due respect, we did indicate that Arroyo Grande had facilities, and I think Director Nichols in good faith indicated that Grover Beach had adequate facilities and offered those, and we chose to select the Grover Beach facilities.
And when I found that it was not available on that date, I informed the board, and that was well before the interviews.
Okay, I think. Let's just continue the public comment now. Thank
I'm
you.
Sorry.
Thank you both. Okay.
The Kieran Correct memo stated that Director Hill was absent. He is understandably concerned about Brown Act violations. Your investigation of his actions reported by Liebert, Cassidy, and Whitmore on August 7, 2017, carefully looked into Brown Act violations by Director Hill. Although the official report did not find any violations had occurred, it stated, simply because there was insufficient evidence that Mayor Hill violated the Brown Act does not mean he will not violate the Brown Act in the future. That's not a statement of fact, that's a warning. By not attending the special meeting, Director Hill was clearly trying to avoid a Brown Act violation. It was not a setup, as stated by Chair Austin on April 11th OCSD board meeting. From the information provided in the Kieran Correct memo, it appears that the contractor, having no requirement to be knowledgeable of the Brown Act, was given the responsibility of finding a place for the meeting and noticing it. The district board, district council, and staff are ultimately responsible. Again, I request if you're not going to hold another meeting to cure that violation, that Director Hill be updated on the content of the interviews and assist in the selection of the top candidates.
Anyone else?
Julie Tacker, and you know, the break room at the sanitation district has a big screen TV, and you could have done it there, and that would have prevented all this heartburn. The only way to really fix this is to renotice, and I can't read that. Direct staff to renotice the closed session and invite the candidates to interview for a second time. If Ms. Nichols is correct in that there was no narrowing down of the candidates, then that's going to happen anyway. You're going to have 6 interviews again anyway. So Mayor Hill, if it's noticed within the district boundaries, will likely be there. And the district as a whole will benefit from his expertise. Each one of you should be checking your city or your CSD hats at the door. When you come in here, you represent the district. What's best for the district is that Mayor Hill is included in those interviews. That's where you went wrong. And that's what we were telling you that morning, is to include him in the interviews. Instead, you chose to proceed, which now, it better not cost you a bunch of money from this attorney, because he led you down this path. When did your board know the meeting was going to be in San Luis Obispo? Mayor Hill just said on the minutes of the 4th, April 4th, that there was action in closed session and that you changed a meeting location. So you must have known where you were going. And just like Patricia said, somebody typed up this agenda. It was noticed on my computer. I got it at 5:03 on Thursday. 24 hours ahead of time would have been 8 a.m. on Friday. All day Friday, this notice was out there, and you could have stopped it. You could have prevented it. I spoke when I got to the hotel, and I finally found my way down the hall and around the corner to a meeting that never said South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District anywhere in that hotel. It said CPSHR, and because I've been to your meetings in the past, I knew what that meant. So I followed those signs, and I found my way to that room. I was there before any of the board or the staff, but the recruiter was there. And I said, why is this in San Luis Obispo? And she told me the district staff had investigated all the possible locations inside the district. She was under the impression that boots on the ground in that office were calling Arroyo Grande, Oceano, the hotels in the neighborhood. And nobody did. I have gotten the public records requests from two of the agencies. They reflect no questions about holding the meeting. I have yours between Mr. Bronson and you, Barbara. And you tell him, he tells you that he'll be out of town. So that was known. And clearly, a meeting location was chosen. But when did you know? And wasn't Gil in there? So I'm really confused at how it happened, but I'm more confused that why would you proceed? Why would you proceed? And so my hope is that you take option two and that you renotice and do this all again so that the mayor can participate.
Any other public comment? All right. Hey, let's just go back.
Linda, rein her in. Rein
in. It was stated. Shirley, go ahead.
Thank you. Shirley Gibson, Halcyon. First of all, the OCSD you're talking about the big screen TV, et cetera. I talked to Pavo. They don't have the projectors and wiring, okay, for video conferencing. So that was not available. What I would like to know is, you know, why was not Arroyo offered again when Grover Beach was, when they were booked, when that room was reserved and not available? Why didn't Arroyo Grande offer again to host the meeting? Because then you would save all the money from the hotel.
Please let the speaker speak.
You would save a lot of money for the district. So I think that's my main question, clarification on that, because it seems like this is just obstruction that's planned to make life difficult for the district. I think the board, all of the board, has a fiduciary responsibility to move the business of the district forward. And so I think you need to keep that in mind now. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Anyone else? Any other public comment on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll bring it back to the board and close public comment now. And
Madam Chair, as you're aware, the district received a letter, including to all of the directors from the Office of the District Attorney regarding Brown Act violation, and issued a warning to the Board of Directors. And receipt of documents relating to the special meeting on April 7th, 2018 of the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District at the Courtyard Marriott, 1605 Cali Joaquin, San Luis Obispo, California. Documents reviewed include the board packet for your upcoming April 18th, 2018 meeting. A review of these records reflects that the April 7th, 2018 meeting occurred outside your territorial jurisdiction in violation of Government Code Section 54954 paren B. This section requires that, except for circumstances not present here, regular or special meetings must occur within, quote, boundaries of the territory over which the local agency exercises jurisdiction, unquote. The staff report for your upcoming meeting takes the position that a, quote, meeting did not occur on April 7th because no, quote, action was taken by the board. However, the staff report for the April 18th, 2018 meeting states the board identified the top candidates for the position and is prepared to recommend finalists for further consideration by the entire board, unquote. Government Code Section 54952.6 defines, quote, action taken to include, quote, a collective commitment or promise by a majority of the members of a legislative body to make a positive or a negative decision, unquote. A decision to select, quote, the top candidates, which implies an exclusion of others, is a, quote, positive or negative decision, which constitutes legislative action. As such, this letter serves as notice of a violation and a warning that future meetings must occur within the boundaries of the SSLO-CSD. Further violations may result in legal action by this office. Violation of the Brown Act and remedies must be considered in light of the Act's legislative purpose. Government Code Section 54950 states in pertinent part, in enacting this chapter, the legislature finds and declares that the public commissions, boards, and councils, and the other public agencies in this state exist to aid in the conduct of the people's business. It is the intent of the law that their actions be taken openly and that their deliberations be conducted openly. While the April 7th, 2018 meeting occurred outside the jurisdictional territory of the San District, the distance between the Courtyard Marriott and the boundary of the district is not significant, as might suggest an attempt to deny access to the public. Further, the decision to hold the meeting at the Courtyard Marriott was not made by district staff, but by the recruiter retained by the district to search for a new district administrator, and appears to have been the product of inadvertence. It is important to note that the staff report makes the proactive recommendation that the chair execute an unconditional commitment letter pursuant to Government Code Section 54960.2. Issuance of an unconditional commitment letter is appropriate under these circumstances. Finally, during the April 18th, 2018 meeting, members of the public should be offered the opportunity to address the board about the April 7th, 2018 meeting, including whether any action taken at that meeting should be rescinded. Sincerely, Dan Dow, District Attorney. And I note that all of us on being elected, not just taking office, are required to comply with the Brown Act, which I guess a recruiter in this business, I would probably expect a recruiter to be aware of Brown Act issues. I think when we heard on Wednesday that the recruiter recommended the Courtyard Marriott, it was late, and I had to think about that a bit. And I ended up calling district legal counsel a little bit after 2, maybe a quarter after 2 on Friday, and alerted him to the potential Brown Act violation. I'm concerned again about the recruiter, but I'm also concerned that of the statement that it wasn't us, and I think, yes, it was us, and we screwed up. So as Mr. Dow notes, I think the issuance of this letter is appropriate, but I'm also concerned that we continue with the candidates that were identified at the beginning of the meeting to be interviewed and consider them all.
Okay, thank you, Jim. Did you have anything more to say? Or?
No, I believe that our closed session tonight is scheduled to do exactly what was just mentioned, and we'll take it from there. I reiterate that it was not narrowed down. We had a form to rank people individually for ourselves. Those forms would then be used in the group discussion to narrow it down to applicants that we want to call back.
Okay, thank you, Barbara. Okay. Well, what I would like to propose, I think would resolve this is that we do the recommendation of our district council and sign the letter, unconditionally commit that we will cease, desist from, not repeat the challenge past action of holding a meeting beyond the district boundaries, authorize the chair to execute an unconditional commitment letter pursuant to Government Code 54960.2. And I'd also, on our agenda, we had options. There was an option 2. The board may direct staff to re-notice the closed session and invite the candidates to interview for a second time. So what I'd like to say, I think we should do this because I'm thinking of the applicants, and I don't want a new person to come in under this cloud. I'd like to get it cleared up. So my thoughts are that the 6 that we had is to call them back and figure out a way to interview all the candidates with all the board, and so that the new administrator coming in would feel like he had the full board support and not come into a controversy thing. So I'm thinking it's a good idea to interview everyone again, if they want to do it. But I think that would be the best thing to move us forward and move on. So I don't know if anyone agrees with that. I'd entertain a motion that we would sign the letter and redo the interviews.
I can support that.
If that's your motion, I'll second it.
Okay, so can we do a roll call, please?
Certainly. Director Hill?
Yes.
Vice Chair Nichols?
Yes.
Chair Austin?
Yes. Okay, let's move on now to our personnel policy matches. I think this is the last night.
I think so.
Does anybody want a little break first, or? You want to take a break? Let's take 5 minutes.
Yeah.
5 minute break.
I don't think 5091 is identified on the page, actually. It's on the top.
Yeah, it's on the top.
Technology usage.
Correct.
Typically, the other pages have the policy number on the bottom of the page. This one doesn't, which makes it
that's
such
a comment.
A 6,000.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah.
So yeah. Just like it's kind of floating out there.
Are you okay with that?
Mm-hmm.
You okay with this?
Yes.
So we're moving on then to email usage. It's all new on the emails. Social media.
This email messages transmitted to or from district legal counsel are considered to be confidential communications or protected by the work product and attorney-client privileges. I don't know that that's always true.
Do you have any? Gail, would you happen to have a, this is on number 5091, number
three.
Page three, email usage, and it goes down to the attorney communications.
Page three, okay. Page three, item 3C?
Yes.
Yes.
I mean, I'm there.
Email
just give
messages.
Me a minute, please.
Perhaps using the term may be considered.
Mr. Hill was saying that it's maybe not all communications are protected, you know, attorney-client privilege. Maybe not all of them.
Such as perhaps yes. A meeting notice.
That's correct. All documents
so
that I have
just
attorney-client.
That to may be considered?
Sure, that'd be fine.
Okay, so take the R and make it may.
Yes. All documents that I transmit under attorney-client privilege will have that clearly marked on it.
Okay, right. Okay. I'm okay with the rest of this stuff.
Page 5, item 7, the last sentence. I don't see the need for that. Note that generally the policy manual applies to employees rather than...
The failure by a public official to adhere to applicable requirements may result in action by the district board according to the current district board bylaws.
I'm not sure why the reference to the board bylaws needs to be in this document. Seems extraneous.
Okay. Did you hear he is not sure why would it say according to the current district board bylaws?
Yes, I assume that language was added by our HR consultant to address instances where a board member has acted in violation of our bylaws. And I think that's the only intent meant by that last sentence.
Okay. So we'll leave that. Do you have anything coming up?
I would suspect that perhaps a former administrator may have added that in.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to see it's stricken.
Make a note of that one, then check on striking that. You'll check with. The next page, 6,000 now. We're on 6,000 business travel and reimbursement.
Nothing on the page one.
Okay. cell phones.
Back on 6,000, page 2.
Mm-hmm.
Per diem shall include $7 for breakfast, $10 for lunch, and $18 for dinner. I don't know if these allowances came out of about 1970, but I don't know that those numbers are reasonable in this century.
The per diem prices, is there, this is from the old book, so I wonder if they're upgrade this to current.
$6,000, page 2, first paragraph.
We can certainly look at an alternative for that. There are alternatives that use Department of Labor costs or those assigned by federal government to standard per diem rates for that area.
Right, yeah, so if you could look into that, I'd appreciate it.
At a conference, I couldn't even get a breakfast at the local restaurant for $7.
All right. That's good there.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
It was pointed out to me by Amy that Section 11.1 of the district bylaws contains per diem expenses that do not match that do not match the amounts on the personal policy manual.
So
we can correct that to...
You can change it
To be the same as the bylaws.
Right.
So that's
okay. Okay. Perfect.
And I appreciate Mr. Sleuth's recommendation, too, that to look into and make sure that those are all current.
Okay. Okay, everything else good? Cell phones now, cell and handheld device policy.
No issues with that.
I don't know, are employees of the generation that can't be separated from a cell phone for 5 seconds?
I don't know. And if we have to deal with surgery to remove. But.
Okay, so we're on 6010 page with the B, management supervisory responsibilities, safety, district issued devices.
On page 3 of 6010, first paragraph talks about city equipment, and I believe the intent is to discuss district equipment.
The very top, Jim?
Yeah.
City equipment, very top of the page. Telephone calls, text messages on the next page.
Nothing on the rest of 6010.
Okay, so now we're to our debit card policy, 6020.
I guess my reaction to this entire policy is, why do we allow debit card use at all?
Do we have debit cards in the district, and who would they be issued to?
I think it it says in the case of an emergency when they have to use debit cards. So I don't know that we have any debit cards remaining. It addresses if there was an emergency situation where debit cards had to be used, which I don't know what that is, then this would apply. So, I mean, I don't know that it harms anything to have it in here, but it may or may not be necessary. Okay. Somebody has believed that there is an emergency which required debit cards.
Yeah.
I would again recommend that we delete this entire policy, or if we and not obtain debit cards in the first place.
Well,
that would require use of credit cards, which we generally do. Credit cards have the ability to cancel a transaction and not incur a loss, which debit cards do not have. And that would require an employee perhaps to go to the bank if there was an emergency situation. I don't know that that's a detriment. It seems to me that the debit cards have a lot more downside, and nothing that's apparent to me to be a benefit.
Is there ever a situation where they would only take a debit card? Like,
I'm not aware of that.
Because it says, while the general use of debit cards has been discontinued, replaced with credit cards.
There certainly was a time where there was a period where debit cards were all that and credit cards were not, and now we've kind of transitioned.
Right.
So I can see where there was a transitional period where people thought maybe debit cards were essential.
There's purpose, and there's the policy, and then we have all these uses. So if we're not, but if you still have to use them at certain times, would that be why you'd leave all these in? If you're not going to, I mean, I don't know. Do you have debit cards there?
Not that I'm aware of. No,
I
transitioned away from debit cards years ago.
Then we should probably not have that in there then.
Yeah, we can certainly take a look at it and
further
and see if there's something we're not anticipating here.
Yeah.
But if it's not useful, I don't see a reason for it.
Okay. Thank you. Yes, I would, absent a strong recommendation to the contrary by staff, then I'd recommend taking it out.
Okay. So 7,000, the district administrator. Do you have anything, Jim?
I have a number of things here. Position characteristics. This is right under the heading employment standards. And the contract general direction of the district board of directors responsible for policies established by a board. For the operation and administration of the district, I think the operation of the district requires a license from the water board, and I'm not sure that is the administrator is responsible for the management and administration of the district, but I'm not sure operations falls under there perhaps, but I'm not sure how literally to read this.
Certainly operation of the plant requires a certification. There's lots of things at the plant, I mean, there's lots of things in the district where the operation does not require that. So the collection system, maintaining the pavement, just a number of things, but it's not a huge issue to have a discussion over. However you choose to do it, it could be reworded. To say excluding operation of the plant or
facilitating operation, something like that. Responsible. And the next line says overall administration. Could say in facilitating operations of the plant.
Or operations of the district, or?
Sure.
So just change that plant to district.
Operations. And come overseas presenting the direction of planning coordination management for the Ministry of Affairs and Operations. So do you have an idea how you want that to be worded, Director Hill?
I would say responsible in the new paragraph distinguishing characteristics. Incumbents responsible for the overall administration and facilitating operations of the plant. So I mean, my assumption would be that the my assumption would be that the administrator is not going to be a licensed operator.
Okay, I got you.
Supervision exercised and received. It says incumbent has direct supervision. I would strike the word incumbent. This is the we're talking about the position, not an individual. The incumbent's an individual who holds the position.
So that should be administrator then instead of incumbent?
No, it can just, if you just delete the word incumbent, it could just say has direct supervision over the bookkeeper, secretary, and wastewater plant superintendent.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The word incumbent's not necessary there at all. Nor in the next couple of lines down, this is an at-will exempt salaried position and reports directly to the board of directors.
And take out incumbent there.
Yeah, there's something missing there. Okay. There's a determinant missing somewhere. We can take a look. I understand what you're going for, though.
Education, I'm not necessarily adverse to this, but just to point out to the board that through education here, we're requiring a bachelor's degree for this position. Oftentimes, it might be that someone with extensive experience in the field might be considered for a position such as this without mandating a degree.
I think it doesn't say a bachelor's degree in what, so I think having a college-educated person is not a bad criteria.
I agree with that, but again, by doing this, we would exclude someone with perhaps years of maybe relevant experience from the position that didn't have a degree per se.
Okay. Well, wouldn't that be something you could just take up at the as it happened? Like if you say you were looking at someone, I mean.
Or another way to deal with it would be desired. Put the word desired at the end.
With the related bachelor's degree desired.
You, a lot of times, highly desirable is used as a term for that. Is that okay?
Yes.
That's fine. In experience, I'd like to see in somewhere in wastewater treatment. I'm not sure that management or administrative experience unrelated to wastewater treatment is of benefit.
Is not sure it is a benefit, or you?
Well, in other words, I'd like to see it say something like 5 years increasingly responsible management or administrative experience in wastewater treatment.
Once again, we could add something at the end. Experience in the field of wastewater is highly desired.
Highly desired. There you go.
Yeah. Okay. Possession of the driver's license. That's
possession, let's see, of a valid certificate of registration as a civil, mechanical, or sanitary engineer. Valid Class C license, that's good to have. Satisfactory driving record, that's good to have. It's desired. What about perhaps a chemical engineer?
Oh, I thought you were going to say a materials engineer.
That.
Just well, teasing.
I'm well acquainted with some materials engineers.
So, civil, mechanical, or sanitary issue is state board registration. So you're saying, what other forms of engineering are you?
Chemical, which comes immediately to mind.
It may be that you could, registration as an engineer, you could just leave it, and then you don't necessarily have to define what types of, you may have a circumstance where an electrical is.
And that may be the case, so I would agree with you.
Yeah, makes sense.
Page 2, one of my overriding concerns is not here, and I think we need a bullet to indicate principles of safety and industrial hygiene. We talked about administration and so forth, but high on my list is going to be knowledge of principles of safety and industrial hygiene.
Principles of safety and
or industrial safety and hygiene. Okay. Page 2, under ability to provide advice and consultation to the board of directors on the development of technical complexities. Can anyone tell me what that is?
Technical complexities?
I would think it would be...
I would think we ought to strike that term.
Okay. I mean, I know what it is because that's what I do for a living. It's to take what we...
To distill down those techniques.
Exactly.
It's relating to new board members.
So that why is a curb and gutter 6 inches high?
Yeah.
Development of ordinances, regulations, programs, policies, and services, I think, covers... Any of those may be technically complex.
You ready for the next?
Typical duties, 7,000, page 2, at the very bottom. Responsible to plan for the operation, maintenance, and expansion of the district's wastewater collection. Expansion is of concern to me here. I don't know of any move to expand the capacity of the plant.
You are looking at the possibility of expanding reclamation facilities. So mm-hmm. I don't know if you...
I think we've carefully explained that adding reclamation would not expand the capacity of the plant.
But it would expand the reclamation. I mean, okay. But not that big a deal.
If the area continues to build huge hotels,
we may end up having to expand capacity somehow.
You certainly have a plant that's sufficiently large to serve the present general plans of the communities it serves. That along with the reduction in water use is probably going to lead to a situation where it would, if that's the case, I certainly won't be around to see it.
Well, continuing the same sentence on the next page, talks about treatment, doesn't talk about disposal, which is something that probably should be in there. And it, the very top line continues from the previous page, and then it says reclamation facilities. So reclamation facilities weren't... I don't know, the use of the term expansion there has connotations with regulators that are of concern to me.
How about we put enhancement?
Put in what?
Enhancement.
That, I like enhancement.
I'm not sure what it means, but it might
I think,
mean.
I think it's a better term than expansion.
Okay.
Then makes recommendations regarding the long and short range planning of plant collection, operational. What does that mean? And reclamation facility construction and modification activities, including plans for financing. Does that mean treatment? If so, we could say treatment. That would mean collection, treatment, and reclamation facility. But I'm not sure what an operational facility is.
Well, again, wouldn't that go toward capacity?
I don't know the answer to that either, so
I
think it's confusing, and I would prefer to delete the word operational and go to treatment or something that has to do with our
plant
business.
Plant collection, operations. Should that word be operations? Does that work?
No, I would think that treatment works, but...
Plant collection, operations. Well, I'm just thinking of the things other than...
Yeah, operational.
...than treatment that the plant does, so...
If you... skip the word and reclamation, it reads operational facility construction and modification activities.
Yeah, that may be that operations, maybe there should be a comma. I see they're trying to say that make recommendations for short and long term planning of plant collections, operations, and facility construction and modification. So maybe there's an apostrophe missing,
mm-hmm.
or a comma missing there after operations.
Right.
Does that make sense, Director Hill? No?
Not really.
How would you envision recommendations regarding long and short-term planning of operations would occur? Or how do you think it should be stated?
Well, this specifically talks about facility construction and modification. So
well,
I'm not sure what...
keeping in mind also that this is the old manual.
Well, the old manual may have had issues, which is why we're revising
short
it.
Short-range planning of plant collection.
But this is not the revised version in that paragraph. It's the old version.
Make recommendations during the short and long-term... Sean, planning of plant collection operations. Maybe that should say, and facility construction and modification activities. Does that make more sense?
Collection. Yeah, that's an improvement.
Because reclamation
seems to... I think what the plant does is collects wastewater, treats it, and possibly reclaims it. So that's why I thought treatment was perhaps more relevant than operational.
I'm just thinking, does it cover all we do, though?
I think operational just looks like a throwaway word in there. It doesn't really do anything for us.
Plant collection, operations, and facility construction. If you put a comma after operations, doesn't that do plant collection and operations, plant correction, operations?
And facility construction, that's probably better than what it is.
Okay.
So you got it?
Yeah, I think we've got something. If you can live with that, I think we've got something that is, yeah, I'm not sure why reclamation is taken out of all the, it's centered there.
Just a peculiar sentence.
Yeah, it is.
Then the in the very next line, represents the board's policies and programs. I think it's implements the board's policies and programs. Is that not the intent?
Sure.
Fifth bullet down, responsible for the administration of the district's finances, ensuring district finances are performed. Hopefully that would be managed instead of performed. I'm not sure what performing finances are.
Just manage.
That makes
that
more
manage.
Sense.
Something that I hope to see in the near future.
Anything?
Working conditions. The work environment characteristics described herein are representative of those an employee encounters while performing the essential functions of this job. Looks like another throwaway sentence. That doesn't impart any information to me about the working conditions.
So you just want to throw that sentence out?
I would suggest that, yes, please. The rest of it goes on to describe in some detail the working conditions, which I think is the objective. Physical demands. Kind of the same thing. The first sentence under physical demands is kind of wasted. Physical demands are the employee must possess sufficient strength to push, pull, etc. That's all I have on that one.
Okay.
So 701, a wastewater plant superintendent. Mine's been.
In this one, under employment standards, 1, 2, 3, fourth line, talks about wastewater treatment, reclamation, and disposal, but not collection. And I think the superintendent is responsible for collection as well as the other enumerated items.
Sewer operations.
Then about the fifth or sixth line down, successful performance of the work, then there's some strange punctuation there. This should be deleted. Successful
the
performance of the work,
after work
requires
needs to go away. Yeah. Requires a higher.
It doesn't require any punctuation there at all.
Yeah.
The wastewater plant superintendent is a management level class. I would think typically such descriptions I've seen be a management level position or management level employee. I'm not sure where we get the term class.
Well, that's a word. You know,
is that a term of art from personnel?
They say class of, yeah.
From HR professionals?
Yeah, I'm lost.
It's in classification. I mean, it's the same thing. It's just, I mean, where were you reading that?
It's under distinguishing characteristics. Okay.
Is a management level class. That's where you...
Excuse me, Madam Chair. I believe that is classification is what that is meant for, or position.
Right.
Yeah, position is typically what I see. Classification would be okay, but a management level class is...
So change it to from class to classification.
That would be an improvement.
Okay.
Management level class kind of indicates you're going to business school or something.
Oh, mine says classification.
That might be explaining.
That's in the next line down, yeah. The top of the, where it says distinguishing characteristics, right under the word characteristics.
Oh, yeah, there it is. Okay.
But I think that is explained a little further down in description of the difference between a plant superintendent and plant operations supervisor.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah, so that says classification, which I think that's the term we want to use.
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Anything else on that page?
Accredited. I would just say under minimum qualifications, an accredited associate's degree and whatever else you want it. To add in there is highly desirable. Is that your term?
Huh. Yeah, we want to be really careful on these. completion of 2 years. And or successful completion of training required by the California State Water Resources Control Board. Okay. Yeah, I just want to make sure that we cover the correct, and I think it's covered under possession of licenses. Mm-hmm. It specifies the grade 3 wastewater.
Anything else?
I've got the accredited associate's degree, I guess. Principles, this is on 7010-2, knowledge of principles and practices of contract negotiation and administration. I'm just pointing that out in that this is the superintendent requirements, not necessarily a bad thing. Principles and practices of public agency budget preparation, administration, and control. Again, just pointing that out, not wanting to overlap with the administrator. It does then say safety equipment and practices to the work, including handling of hazardous chemicals and confined space entry procedures. I would add lockout, tagout, and industrial hygiene specifically in there.
Did you get that, Rick?
Yeah.
Okay.
Ability to.
We're on the next page, 70103.
Yeah. Plan, organize. This is ability two at the top of the page. Plan, organize, supervise, coordinate, review, evaluate, and personally participate in the operation and maintenance of a comprehensive wastewater treatment, reclamation, and disposal system. I think O&M is probably closer to what we want than functions and activities, which is
kind of... Say that again.
The term functions and activities,
yeah, it's
kind of nebulous.
And what would you...
I put in operation and maintenance. I've found this rather highly amusing. Prepare a variety of reports, policies, and other written materials relative to operations activities in a clear and concise manner using proper English grammar, spelling, vocabulary, and punctuation, which is notably lacking in this document as presented.
Okay, so where are we? To get through these next two pages, 3 and 4.
Okay, I see nothing else on 3.
The one that says recognize, correct, and or report unusual, inefficient, or dangerous operating conditions, I would expect that we'd immediately correct a dangerous operating condition and report it if necessary, but this looks like we're more interested in unusual and inefficient things. And dangerous is the last one. I would think this document actually implies to the reader what the order of appearance is in the minds of the directors and the management of the district. And I would think correcting a dangerous condition would be our very first priority.
I'm sorry. Not, where are you again?
This is ability two, about the fifth bullet. It says recognize, correct, and or report unusual, inefficient, or dangerous operating conditions. And I don't think there's enough emphasis there on dangerous conditions. And my expectation as a director certainly is that those would be immediately corrected and reported if necessary. And I think that should have a higher level of emphasis in the document than just tossing it in with unusual and inefficient
dangerous
conditions.
Should be reported immediately and recognize, correct, any other unusual. And no report.
So did you have a type of wording you're looking at there?
Well, I would say recognize and correct or report dangerous operating conditions. I would just reorder those, dangerous, unusual, or inefficient, mm-hmm. rather than...
Put dangerous first.
I'd put dangerous first.
Okay.
Read and comprehend a variety of gauges, charts, and meters. How about just instruments?
A chart is not necessarily an instrument.
Charts.
I would say leave them gauges, people, because yeah. I might not know what the instruments. I think you should leave it spelled out so they know.
It's all on that page. Then on 7010-4, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, fifth bullet, again we have operational in there. That's just a, in my view, a poor choice of terms. I'd rather see treatment.
Which line are you looking at?
Fifth bullet, on 7010-4.
So, are you under assist in and make recommendations? Is that one?
Right above there, yeah, where okay. It says operational. It's the same kind of strange language that prior description had operational in there, and it doesn't really belong.
So, how would you reword that?
I'd change it to treatment.
Treatment.
Collection, treatment, and disposal.
Instead of operational, collection, treatment, and disposal?
Yeah, I would say collection, treatment, and disposal instead of collection, operational, and disposal. I'm at a loss to understand what collection, operational, and disposal facility is.
So, okay, inspects and the plant and reviews laboratory testing results to determine collection.
This is the fifth bullet on 710, page
okay,
4.
Okay, assist in making and makes recommendations regarding the long range and short range planning of plant collection. Mm-hmm. Operational and disposal facility construction. So
I'd say collection, treatment, and disposal facility construction. That's kind of what we're about.
Okay.
Then the next line down talks about maintenance inventory materials and so forth for the effective operation of the wastewater reclamation plant. Again, I would put treatment there, which I think includes reclamation, but it is more all-encompassing.
Yeah, I mean, you're running into a changing term of art. I mean, all wastewater treatment plants used to be called wastewater reclamation facilities. And the federal government defined them as that, so they transitioned their name over the years, but
I'll leave that to your discretion.
Okay, so we're on 70104.
Fifth bullet up from the bottom, may review of permit applications and renewals.
Okay.
How about review permit applications and renewals?
Or may review.
Or may review.
So we're on page 5, 70105 now.
The term division is in here again on 70105, third bullet. I'm sorry, fourth bullet. Monitors changes, laws, regulations, and technology that may affect division operations.
We'll just take that division out.
Yeah.
May affect operations implement.
I think they meant district. Just a typo.
Just may affect operations, that's fine.
Yeah.
PPC. Maybe required to wear PPE and perhaps provide training to staff.
May. How about facilitates training for staff?
Fine.
You know, the deal about certified trainers. And
that's fine. Just some grammatical cleanup under working conditions. Exposure to water, chemicals, toxic gases. I would delete and, because you're continuing on the string there. Toxic gases, hazardous materials, and noise.
Just eliminate and?
Yeah, toxic gases, comma, delete and.
And put a comma.
Hazardous materials and noise, hot and cold temperatures.
You might put and in after heavy lifting slash moving, comma standing, then and climbing.
Standing, comma, and.
Trying to be attentive to the grammar because we're requiring people to use it correctly. The one...
enforcing policies.
The last bullet at the top of page 70105 talks about there's all this basic stuff, which is under what heading? Typical duties. The last bullet isn't a duty. That's more of a physical demand, I think. Maybe required to wear PPE, appropriate for job assignments. I don't know if that's a... Is it a duty? Perhaps. I'm sure that it's used. I would think it's perhaps a duty, but that might go down as a physical demand as well.
Okay, so anything in working conditions? You already did that, right? Toxic gases, comma, and is crossed out. I did that.
What time did we enter this discussion?
We're done. This is it. I was just waiting for this last paragraph.
Okay, that's all I have on that.
Okay, I think we're going to end it now, and we'll start up. I think we might get maybe one more time.
7:20 starting?
7:20 we'll start next time. And then we'll open it now for public comment.
tedious, and you guys did a great job tonight. It's obvious that this personnel manual is outdated, not well written, and I commend you. My friend Liz Dukas, who was sitting here, said she's been through several depositions of these type of things, these personnel manuals, and so you can't really write a perfect one, but the better you do, I'm sure the better, I mean, the more likely you are to stay away from trouble, and it's actually beginning to make sense and not just be like a bunch of jumbled words. So I do commend you guys.
Julie Tacker and I will commend you to also. You're working very well together. I'd actually like this same camaraderie. Maybe we go back and look at that nepotism policy that you guys kind of took bites at it, very contentious. But I'd like to see the same methodical respect for each other and go back there. Nobody wants to go back through this thing, but I think to benefit the document, it needs to happen. Probably most of my comments are going to be more anecdotal on 5091, page 2. It speaks to erasing and deleting information, and it says copies of such information may remain on the district backup systems. I'm just reminded that there were audio tapes of board meetings that dated back 3, 4, 5 years before you went to television, and that somehow they're not on the backup systems. I'd actually love to see that be revisited also, in that maybe the right person needs to look at it to be able to find those, because I think those are still valuable. Same section? No? The consequences of the policy violations on page 5 of that same section. Where Jim wants the bylaw, the reference to the board members stricken, I have to agree. This is not a director's document. This is your employees. The references in 6002 to the per diem, and then as Amy pointed out, the bylaws have a different number. I think to just stay current, if you just go with the IRS of the day, because it's going to change over time, if you just pick an agency, San Luis Obispo County has a per diem schedule, or the state has a schedule, pick the schedule and then put that in both of the documents. And just for your information, Mr. Huebner exceeded his reimbursements when he went out to lunch on the district. I happen to have those invoices. The 610 cell and handheld device policy, I think I didn't see hands-free, and that hands-free is actually the law for the use while in a car, so I think you should maybe reference that. Also, 610.3, page 3, use of district-issued mobile devices is a privilege and not a right. Well, in the context of this district, I would think that anyone who is on call needs to have a district cell phone or pager, or used to be pagers. So it's not that's not a privilege. That's a
necessity.
Exactly, necessity. The section on telephone calls and text messaging, 610.4, section A. Maybe some reference to these text messages and phone calls are all subject to the California Public Record Act. because that's the new law. Page 7001. Remember when I asked you if you were looking at the most current document? You weren't. Remember, the staff report said that these were old and antiquated back to 2004. Right here, the stricken language, effective September 16th, 2015. This was the job description for the district administrator and the legal counsel. I think that if it had been 2004, you wouldn't have the reclamation language that's in these job descriptions. With regard to the district administrator, there is the ability to conform with the Brown Act and attend meetings, but I think the possession of or knowledge of the Brown Act and the Public Records Act should be one of those bullets on the top of 7002. 7000, page 2. And then when we get to the wastewater plant superintendent's job description, what I'm interested in is, I know this was going on when Mr. Clemens was working here, and I wonder if it has his recommendations in it, just because you don't have this person now to see what kind of duties were being done by Mr. Clemens, and him being a grade 5 operator, he has the highest level of certification in wastewater. So I think that would have, I just want to know that those, that qualification and that expertise is, transcends into the job description. So thanks.
Any other public comment? Okay. Seeing none, we will close it and start next time on 7020.
Madam Chair, if I could, I strongly concur with the suggestion that we prohibit cell phone use while driving. That is a safety issue, and hopefully we can add a couple of lines in the 6010 policy to.
Sure, I'm sure that can be added.
To do that, and I'm also persuaded that knowledge of the Brown Act and Public Records Act should be put in under administrator. On 7000, page 2, I would request staff to make those additions.
Take note of that. Okay. Very good. So move on to miscellaneous items, written communications. We have, are you going to do that, Rick? We have it here in our, the response to letter from the City of Aurora Grande.
Correct. You should have in your packet a response to the City of Aurora Grande regarding audits.
Right.
And it tells the time frame for which we're expecting our audit to be completed.
Okay. All right.
If I might inquire, there was also a cure and correct letter that was sent to the district. That might be included. Was that too late to be included here, or will it be included in the next?
We have copies available. I believe they have been set out on the table tonight for anyone who would like one.
And then also the letter from the district attorney, which I think is
Just received that yesterday afternoon.
That's obviously late, so perhaps that could be included in the next agenda.
Sure. I believe we have copies of that available if you wanted that handed out tonight. If that would be better for you, if you wanted that handed out tonight, or do you want it put on the...
It could be handed out and maybe just a one-line mention in the next agenda.
What? I'm not quite following. Why would you put it on the next agenda?
Just to note that we received the correspondence.
That it was received.
So there's a record. Written.
Okay, I get it. Not. All right. Okay. Board member communications. Is there anything?
None from me.
Nope. I don't have anything. So we will close session. So can you? State the closed session and then
thank
I'll
you, Madam Chair.
Comment.
The board will hold a closed session under the public employee appointment provision of the Brown Act, title district administrator.
Thank you. Is there any public comment on closed session?
Good evening again. I'm Julie Tacker. And with regard to this, you're going into closed session to, I'm not sure what now, because you're going to renotice an interview process. And I just want to kind of tongue-in-cheeked say you want someone who's familiar with the Brown Act, because all of those candidates participated in a meeting that was outside your jurisdictional boundaries and should have known better that you were violating the Brown Act. Very briefly, if you'll allow, the district attorney letter, copies at the back table, I provided. I asked Amy, and she had not seen that letter. I don't know that Mr. Trujillo had seen the letter either, because from what I was, the letter was sent to me from the district attorney's office, and it said it was faxed to the district. So I don't know if you got them in your emails, or if there's still a letter laying on the fax machine back at the district office. And then I think it's prudent that you actually respond to the district attorney and let him know what actions you've taken to remedy the violation.
Any other comment? Closed session? Okay. Seeing none, I'll close it and we will adjourn to closed session.